Thank you for listening to the Highlander Podcast, where we have conversations about the past, present, and future of the outdoor industry. Thanks to Utah State University's Outdoor Product Design and Development Program for making it possible and for training the future product leaders of the outdoor industry. Learn more about the program at opdd.usu.edu. The Highlander Podcast is sponsored by the Outdoor Recreation Archive, a collaboration between OPDD and USU Special Collections to preserve the history and print materials of the people, products, and brands of the outdoor industry. Follow the archive at Outdoor Rec Archive on Instagram. The Highlander Podcast is sponsored by the Utah Outdoor Association, a business association focused on elevating Utah's outdoor industry through educational programming and events. Their membership consists of Utah's outdoor manufacturers, retailers, outfitters, and guides. Member benefits include networking opportunities, recruitment of talent, and brand promotion. More information about volunteering and membership is available at utahoutdoor.org. On this episode of the Highlander Podcast, Damon Morris, VP of Outdoor at Elevate Outdoor Collective, talks about his journey into the sports and outdoor industry, the dynamics of working on a product team, and shaking up the ski industry.
Damon Morris, VP of Outdoor for Elevate Outdoor Collective. Just a little background in terms of how I got here, I got to this role. Chase, you know, took you through it a little bit, but I'm originally from San Diego, California, Imperial Beach. This is a very long time ago, obviously, so I'm aging myself, actually probably like 10 years ago, but it's all good. I grew up in South San Diego, and I was just someone who was kind of a jock in band, skated, surfed, did a lot of everything, if you will. Pretty busy, a lot of team sports, studied psychology and music theory actually in school. So had always had a passion for, I would say, product. I used to steal my dad's clothes to try to one up the kids at school. My dad worked for the airlines, but he was also a photographer. So I was lucky enough to just sort of like see the world through his eyes, if you will, at sort of a discounted rate, if you will. After school, or in the middle of school, actually, my then girlfriend and I moved to Vail, Colorado, for a season. Went back, finished school, and then ended up back in Vail for the next 5 years. And that's really, you know, sort of like what set everything off, if you will, in terms of like working in the industry, working, you know, and doing something that I loved. While in Vail, and I snowboarded professionally for a couple of years back when, you know, I think a lot of people could be professional snowboarders or call themselves professional snowboarders. But, you know, just where you make connections in the mountains and Vail, like just living in the hills, definitely, I'd say pivotal moment, in my life. Moving back to California, after, you know, time to sort of like get back to the real world, linked up with a couple friends. I consider family mentors, and they were getting ready to start a brand, and then we talked about what we thought, you know, let's say the industry or brands were missing at the time. And you know, one of the things I had said was just around the passion for what we do. Like, I think a lot of brands at the time were sort of spinning their wheels, putting out what felt like didn't have a lot of like substance to it at the time. So we kicked off brand, which was called Alpha Numeric. It was the first black and brown owned action sports company, skate company, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's really where my journey sort of started, like my mentorship, working with a team of individuals from New York, from Atlanta, from California, and, you know, just bringing people together for a common goal, if you will. And so, you know, a lot of you know, people say, you know, don't work with your friends. I tend to disagree. You know, we had a really, like, this was definitely a turning point for the industry. We sort of set the industry on its head, and just doing what we love, communicating around education and mathematics, if you will, and, you know, using our passion for music, action sports as that sort of vehicle to, you know, communicate a message. You know, if you look at this, there's definitely a lot of people you see today, a lot of, I would say, really important people who are part of the action sports landscape and have moved on into bigger brands, fashion, NBA, just design across the board from a product standpoint and design standpoint. So, and, you know, unfortunately, we were a group of individuals who, while were very creative, working towards a common goal, we didn't have the necessarily business sense, if you will. You know, the passion was definitely sort of like superseding the business aspect of things. And so we got into a little bit of a rift with our investors. Things were happening. We all came together and said, you know, as a team, and took a vote and decided to, okay, we're all going to go our separate ways. And at the time, Burton was pursuing me. I didn't want to move to Vermont. It was too cold. It's 20 below. I was like, I don't want to be here right now. But you know, a couple individuals here said, you need to go and go to school for free. Well, this is what you're going to school. You're getting paid. You know, Burton was the number one brand in the industry, right? It was it was Burton. So moved out there. I was marketing coordinator at the time, and brought a group of people together to kick off what you now know as Analog, originally starting out as sportswear. So when I moved out, the team that was put together, you had this woman, Kelly Tweeden, who came from Nike as creative director. You had a John Lewis, who came from Nike as well as VP of marketing. You had a senior developer from J.Crew Japan, actually. And then you had head of development who came from Abercrombie at the time. And so, you know, someone coming from action sports, you know, had never worked with, you know, individuals of this caliber. And again, another, you know, very tight knit group, galvanized, you know, and we came together and had our own space, and I was just soaking everything up, you know, soaking product development, design, all of it, just as like a kid in a candy store, just a sponge taking it all in. And myself on the marketing side, you know, I was looking at how, you know, I would tell, you know, people at Burton that, you know, they had the DJ bag at the time, and they didn't, you know, it wasn't just hitting with their, you know, their snowboard consumer. You had, you know, people from all over, world-class DJs who were using this bag, and they didn't realize that. And so part of my job was to start to bring these people in to the sort of like Burton fold, if you will, and then start to provide feedback and see how we can start to engage with other consumers outside of just snowboarding or action sports. And that was, you know, where I started to really just learn the power of one, listening, two, communication, thinking about the broader consumer, but finding the common threads within the team, if you will. I was there for about 3 years, almost 4 years, actually, and just realized I wanted to be back over on the West Coast. So moved back to, actually drove back cross country, moved to San Francisco, worked at a golf course for a couple of years. Actually, I'd always been an avid golfer. I'd always wanted to start a golf apparel brand. I was big into just what was happening over in the UK from a color standpoint, the Rat Pack, the Dean Martins, the Sammy Davis Juniors, and whatnot. Went to school to San Francisco Community, studied small business management, put a business plan together. Quickly realized you needed a lot of money to break into the golf industry, and so sort of shelved that and that idea. And at the time, a friend who was working for Vans called and said, "Hey, VF or North Face had just purchased Vans. They're doing outerwear. Would you be interested in speaking to the team in the Bay Area?" I said, "Absolutely." Come to find out, it's a product management role. I came from marketing. I was in marketing at the time, but what I realized was I could provide my consumer insights, if you will, paying attention to what's going on, not just with the consumers, just in the world, and how that starts to inform product and the product that we create for the consumer, for the retail landscape. And you know, that was what I went in on in my interview process. And so first time, you know, getting into product, I was, you know, extremely happy as well, because it was something tangible. Outside of, like, product is tangible outside of, like, marketing with ideas, and there's, you know, there's no real, like, KPIs, if you will, like how, you know, things are working or functioning, if you will, for a consumer versus just telling stories. And so we were a team of four people at the time, working out of the North Face offices in San Leandro. So having access to all the resources, some of the North Face team as well. And again, from the product side, just soaking up everything. Back then, you know, I learned Illustrator by taking a couple classes and then just doing it, right? And so I had to then, like, put a line together, work with the design team, take designs and actually put them down on paper to then send out to the factories. When samples came in, would do what we call pre-lining with the REIs and the Dicks of the world, like from stage one all the way through until production, basically bringing, you know, our key accounts and whatnot on the journey, so to speak, which is an aspect of marketing, right? Which is an aspect of, like, communication and how we're selling, are telling stories to, you know, some the consumer as well as the key our key accounts. So again, just like school of hard knocks, if you will, small team coming together, sitting there with, again, when we talk about, like, soft skills and just honesty and communication, a lot of that, because a lot of things can go wrong. A lot of things, you know, you had to, like, get through a lot of different issues and whatnot. So from there, I did almost 5 years and then moved back down to Southern California, starting to raise a family. We're on our second child, my daughter, worked at Fox Racing for a couple of years, where I was the senior SMU merchandise manager. So quick turn products, merchandising, working with the PacSuns, the Tillys, the Buckles and Dicks of the world. Working, you know, being that sort of, like, go between our design team and then the buyers at these different accounts. So again, like, understanding consumer habits, communicating any feedback back to the design team, then having that team then put out the product, 6 week turnaround, working with the screen printers and cut and sew. And so from there, I get a call from Nike, which was like, this is definitely intimidating. And I went to Nike as a product manager, and you know, all of a sudden you're in this massive global stage, if you will, managing a $1.5 billion business within sportswear. And I remember 2 weeks in, I got put on the stage in the what was called the Tiger Woods Center at the time, presenting to around 500 people, and I'd never presented to, you know, a group that big. And so that's where I quickly learned maybe my communication skills weren't as good as I thought they were. So working on that, you know, working across multiple categories. And when you're at Nike, you definitely, as a product manager, you get moved around a lot. And as they would say, that's to sort of like build, you know, build your tool set, if you will, right? And as a product manager, you're the glue that sort of like holds everything together within when it comes to building a collection, when it comes to building a brand, if you will. And so a few of the brands that I worked on are within Nike. The categories was the Nike Tech Pack. We kicked off the sportswear and Nike Tech Fleece. ACG, working on the collabs with Earlson. Nike SB, working on the outerwear. And then I also worked on performance outerwear. So taking, you know, just experience being in snowboarding and action sports, applying that knowledge to building a collection, working with the development team, being in fit sessions, working with these design teams, being in design reviews, bringing consumer and market insights back to the design team in order to inform how, you know, how we build the line, how we build the assortment, size of the line, color, what's checking, what isn't. And that's, you know, like went to school, you know, on the global stage. And from there, I moved over, went over to Columbia Sportswear, got an elevated role. I was working on women's outerwear, which was, you know, it was new for me, but I was excited to be working on women's outerwear and then their special projects. And so the special project for all the collabs. And so I built that program within Columbia. It's not something they ever really did. Worked with Ronnie and the Kith team on multiple collections for Columbia. And from there, I went in to a friend of mine was starting a small fashion brand, fashion house, and asked if I wanted to come on as director and out of Portland. And so went and worked with a friend on a brand called Dime, and we were building the collection. It was just myself and the creative director, essentially building the collection, working with the factories. We had a showroom in a group in London and Milan. We did a lot of there's a lot of traveling to the various shows, you know, spring and fall, spring and summer, fall winter shows in Paris, Milan, like London, and we were basically doing technical sportswear. So a lot of what you've started to see or have seen over the past couple of years, we were on the forefront of, and it was great. It was cool, you know, being at that director level, but still doing a lot of hands-on work with design and development. It's, you know, I realized I wanted to get back to sort of like my passion when it comes to outdoors. And a role presented itself with the North Face. It was senior category director for outerwear. And I was living in Portland at the time, and this was 2018. And I knew that they were moving to Denver. And so for 6 months, I commuted Monday through Friday from Portland to the Bay Area for 6 months straight, every week. And it went fast, but it was exhausting. But we knew, you know, my wife, my then girlfriend, my wife, who, you know, my girlfriend from Vail, we knew at some point, because we really loved Colorado. So we knew at some point, you know, if an opportunity presented itself, we would definitely consider it. And this presented itself. And so moved to Colorado in 2019 when VF relocated to Denver. Was heading their outerwear program, our apparel program, lifestyle apparel and outerwear, as a category manager, category director, and then within that time, I was asked if I would like to become the senior development manager for the same category. And this is also for collabs as well. And so accepted that role, now being on like fully on the development side, and you know, then being on the other side, taking, you know, the feedback and the market insights from the product managers and the merchandisers was a whole different, you know, task. But again, like having to lead the team and lead the development process to make sure that we're hitting our pricing, making sure that materials are market right or consumer right, making sure that we are delivering on time, all of it. And then when you start working in the sort of like special projects world, working with the Gucci's and the Supremes, the causes of the world, you know, things can get pretty hairy. They're not always one to be on time when it comes to delivery deadlines of certain aspects of it in the process. And so again, having to learn, you know, having to be able to be a strong communicator, having to be able to galvanize a team, being able to provide context to your development team as to why we're doing projects like this. You know, when you look at, you know, people's different roles in the process, not everyone feels the same or thinks the same. You have a developer who's just thinking about development and making this thing work, versus, you know, caring to like understand why we're doing the things or why we're doing something different than what is traditionally the way to do things. So there is a lot of that. And, you know, as the sort of like cross-functional leader, you have to learn to one, provide the context to bring the team together for a common goal, to also meet individuals where they are, in order to achieve a sort of common goal, if you will. And it was definitely a learning process within the North Face. But you know, I said back at Alphanumeric, when I left Alphanumeric to go work for Burton, I told myself that I wanted to learn as much as I can about all the different roles in the process, so that I could be a more effective leader if an opportunity ever presented itself. Because what we were doing at Alphanumeric was so good, it sucked for it to like have to go the way it did, and I didn't want something like that to happen again. And I understood where we came up short, how we came up short. And so as I take, you know, as I talk to everyone through this journey, this was the purpose of, you know, what I was doing and taking these different roles. You know, some roles present themselves, you may not want to do them, but, you know, if you can figure out or understand that it may be just another avenue that brings you to your final goal, if not even final, but a separate goal, like you have to consider when something presents itself and understand what it might mean or might not mean. So I say that because after 4.5 years, I had the CEO of Elevate Outdoor, who actually knew from Burton, call me. We had been talking, this is out, you know, in the pandemic, we're talking about supply chain riddles and inventory and all the things everyone was hearing about in the industry, at least around what was happening during the pandemic. And so, you know, I didn't realize he was sort of like picking my brain or, you know, just interviewing me, but we were just having casual conversation. And he had said that, hey, I'm considering, I'm making a couple changes over at Elevate, and I want to see if you were interested. And what he was doing as a CEO, if you think about Elevate Outdoor, formerly K2 Sports, it's a portfolio of 11 brands, which is a lot, three of them being in Europe. So you have K2 Ski and Snowboard, Ride, Line, Vocal Skis, Dalbello, BCA Matsus, Cross Country, which is Norway, oldest ski brand in the world, Marker Bindings, Tubbs and Alley Snowshoes, and then K2 Inline, or K2 Skate, which is Inline and Ice. And he was over all of them. And, you know, he quickly realized, he's just like, I can't, this is too much for anyone. And so what he was working on was splitting the two So you had outdoor, which is BCA, Matsus, Atlas and Tubbs, and the K2 Skate, and then the remaining brands were the ski and snow brands. So I'm looking at bringing in a VP of outdoor. Would you consider the outdoor role? And so I said, wow, five brands? That's a lot. And so, backcountry access, obviously, backcountry safety and education. I've ridden for over 30 years. Did some time in the backcountry. I think we were idiots back then. We weren't. There was no educational aspect. You just go out Eastvale shoots, things like that. Matsus cross country, did that a couple of times, but I'm not a big Nordic guy. Atlas and Tubbs snowshoes. Me and my family, we do this. So this was a challenge. This was a challenge in terms of, can I do this? You get that imposter syndrome. Like, can I do this? And then I talked to a couple close friends, and one of them has said, but this is what you've been working towards. You always said this, like, yeah, you can do this. Like, it's going to be difficult, but you can absolutely do it. All the skills that you've learned across, throughout your career, like, is bringing you to this moment. So, accepted the role. It's been almost 3 years now. It is the most difficult thing I've ever done before, and not so much from the development or the product management, merchandising, manufacturing aspect. It is the most difficult thing from just the people aspect. This is where it really tests your skills or your skill set, or just you as a person from a communication standpoint, and working with all the different individuals in every different category, when it comes to bringing teams together, galvanizing a team. I mean, Matsus is the oldest ski brand in the world, 117 years old, cross country, housed in Norway. I go out there for my first town hall. I'm a 5'4" black man speaking to all these tall Scandinavians with a translator saying, we're gonna, take this brand to this next goal. And then going in and working with the developers and the engineers and everything. BCA, learning about backcountry education, very core group of individuals, if you will. But again, it comes back to just the passion for outdoors, right? And so I look to my skill set, communicating that, and really working to bring a team together around one common goal. And so one of the things we talk about is this sort of idea of collective progress, and we're saying, like, being a trusted leader, delivering innovative products, services, and cultural connection to elevate the outdoor enthusiast experience. Everyone is inspired and empowered to experience this transformative power being outdoors, and this is our collective progress. So this goes back to, like, different roles, not just the consumer, but within the company as well. From there, it's like-minded people driving progress for the outdoors together, right? This is what we talk about every day. Is what, I think in your classes, I would imagine, like, it doesn't, may not get worded like this, but there's everyone in class, like, with a passion for the outdoors and bringing people together. So when we look at, like, the soft skills, which is when you have, again, five brands, 11 brands, like, these are the things that really, these are crucial. Your communication, your public speaking, your initiative, product, problem solving. I put it in here, respect, like, sitting with the team and just having a level of respect for each other is absolutely critical, because not everyone is going to agree, right? But that there is a common goal you need to get to. Organization, being on time. And that goes back into respect, being on time when you're bringing a team together, and just providing your opinion, if you will, your level of expertise. I call it like staying in your lane when you're working with a group. But I think, you know, when we talk about that, you know, speaking to your area of expertise, but, you know, outside of like your specific area of expertise, I think either as an end user or a passion for just the process is something that also, you know, can be important and critical to the process, if you will. I call it like the beautiful process of like building product, working with the consumer, if you will. Teamwork, obviously. You know, these are all really important aspects and soft skills in terms of, you know, going towards a common goal. And so, you know, that's really my journey and what I've sort of learned through the, you know, through this, these years. I'm always curious to understand and get, you know, like someone like you all, like your opinion, where you are in your process, how you see the outdoors, how you see where you, I don't want to say fit in, but where you're looking to be a part of, what you bring to the outdoors. Is it just a job? Is it something like you're really passionate about? I would imagine if you're studying it, like, what are you like? How are you guys doing in this? What's your journey like? Or if you have any questions for me.
And I've got one to start us off. I guess, can you, and there was a question here that someone submitted previously, like about collaboration. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, do you have examples of like just teams you've been on where there is that mutual respect and teams you've been on where there isn't? And mm-hmm. what are the signs of, you know, good collaboration, good respect among, you know, people who come from different backgrounds, people on design development, PLM, who come at problems differently? I mean, do you just have some thoughts and maybe some experiences that you can share with us, like some of those soft skills that we ought to develop around respect and collaboration?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I've had over the years, I've definitely had my share of sort of tricky working situations. You know, I think even some of the most recent, I would say that this no disrespect, but the ski industry is pretty dusty, I like to call it. It's very sort of like dusty in its ways. And you do have people who, and know and absolutely respect people who have been doing their roles for quite a while, right? For a long time. And in the ski industry, if it hasn't, you know, necessarily evolved too much to sort of like, to speak to the sort of like landscape around consumer landscape, consumer habits, it's something that is providing context, providing the why, to why we're doing this. This is how we've always done it. That's something we talk about. We don't want to hear this is how we've always done it. And so a lot of it, a big, like pushing through that is around communication and context. And you're not going to, and don't expect immediate like buy-in or results because it's never immediate. You just, you know, I had someone, one of my old directors or actually VPs at Nike used to say, repetition is reputation. Keep hammering on, you know, if you truly believe in something and just being respectful to that person or that those individuals' opinion. You know, when we did the Gucci project at North Face, there was a lot of internal pushback. It just went, why are we, you know, collaborating with Gucci? Like, just doesn't make sense. It's a fashion house. We're, you know, top of mountain. We're an outdoor brand. And how we pushed through that, what I was communicating was like, hey, they came to us. We do not sacrifice the integrity of our product, our design. Like whatever we build still has to function because that is one of the pillars for, you know, North Face and VF. Like the product still has to function. And so, and at the same time, you have a consumer that does this. You just don't we just don't see that person. Sometimes we're too close to something, right? That you never see outside of what's in front of you. And, you know, one of the things I say when I came here is that I want to open the outdoor aperture, or the aperture of outdoor, to really like just put it on people's radar, or, you know, bring people in. And this project with Gucci, which was difficult again from a timelines perspective, like it was wildly successful, but it also created new space for the North Face. Like, that's the other idea of collaboration, is that I don't just want to like put a logo or a graphic or slap something on that. I'd rather have both parties be uncomfortable when they come to the table, because that's where you start to create new space. And then you have this element of discovery versus, you know, hey, we want to do this, we want to do it this way. It's like, no, let's figure this out. Let's, like, anyone, you know, I would say anyone, but anyone can slap a logo on something and call it a collab, which is kind of where we are right now in terms of like what we see out there. Like, it has to be meaningful, and it has to be meaningful to the consumer. It has to be meaningful to the user. Like, the other part of it is, you want to present an innovation, but not everyone will be ready for it just yet. So if you can do something on this sort of like small level that sort of like plants a seed, and then you just let it gain traction, if you will, or let it evolve organically. That's the other thing around collaboration as well. And it's like, again, like I always say that the internal sell usually is the most difficult sell versus like the external, like selling it to the team internally. And just let it happen. It might not always be right, but again, it goes back to being respectful, providing context with, you know, to your team members, and then moving forward.
That's great. We have some questions here in the chat. Yep. One about, you'd mentioned struggling with your skills, and just for some clarification, like hard skills or soft skills. Do you have any specific examples and advice around like developing those hard skills, soft skills, like maybe some specific?
From a soft skill standpoint, I think just, you know, always trying to take stock of where you are, you know, in yourself, like being a, you know, studying psychology is like, my nickname by friends was Emo D or Emotional D, because I was always the, hey man, like, we gotta come on, let's come, like, you know. And sometimes like that isn't necessarily the way to go. Like, it's, you know, you have to be like, you have to be able to put down a point of view versus like being esoteric. Like, there's a fine balance. And you know, there were times where I was wanting to be, you know, just wanting or just happening to be liked by everyone. And when you get into these roles, like, you just got to realize, like, not everyone's going to like you, or you're not going to like, you don't have to like each other, but you certainly have to work together, right? And you're actually working not just for yourself, but you're working for, you know, you're putting something out in the world, if you will, that either someone is going to enjoy and like they need it to function and have a purpose, but they're also spending money on it. So it's like, and at some point, it's not always about you when you're, unless you're owning the brand. But again, like, it's not always about you. And so for, you know, me focusing on like being liked by my peers or my reports or what have you, that's not like, that was, I would get caught up in that and then lose sight of like what we're trying to do and then not getting things done. So I learned that over the years. I think I'm still learning that. I think it's something that, you know, be willing to learn every day. It's we get old when we stop learning, right? When we get comfortable. So hope I answered the question right.
Another question here about if how moving around and working with many different companies influences the way potential employers see you. How do you view that as someone who hires people on your
team? I think that is probably more of a consideration now than it was in the past. It certainly isn't for me. I tend to want to look at everyone's Like I want to look at the body of work, if you will, and then understand if this is someone who's working to like just evolve their skill set, evolve as a person. Ask, you know, what is, you know, your goal? I don't want to say end goal, but what is your goal? And like, why the different moves? What was happening? But I think, to be honest, it's certainly something that is probably more considered now than it was before. And so, you know, when I speak to employers, I just provide my skill set. I provide where I'm trying to go. I do start with my story with Alpha Numeric, because it was, again, like a very important time. And I think had we had the skill sets within the group, we would still, the brand would still be around and doing what it did at the time.
That's great. A question here about imposter syndrome. You've mentioned that you didn't feel qualified for, being intimidated for about roles, working for big brands. How exactly did you deal with that or overcome imposter syndrome?
You just got to get in and do it. No. I mean, that truly is a part of it. I think it's just believing in yourself, like knowing what you are good at, knowing that there's always something to learn. You know what I mean? Like not even the CEOs, they are not perfect at what they do. You know, we work with a private equity firm, and you know, it's a lot of like educating that group, you know, on what we're doing. You know, when a portfolio of 11 brands, I'm like, I'm over 5 brands. So every day is like, fuck, can I do this? You know what I mean? And it's, I think another really important part of it as well is going in, having a structure and process, you know, and if you have a structure and process and sort of like way of doing things, but also that structure allows for tweaking and evolution, that definitely helps to like level set how you are going to approach things, so that there aren't distractions coming in. What if this, what if that, like sticking to that process initially, and then again evolving it as you start to move through.
A question here of kind of about special projects, and Kyle, let me know if I'm getting this right. So is there anything that like prepared you or helped you feel ready to work in special projects and collaborations in particular at companies like Columbia or the North Face? Like what makes someone good at executing those types of partnerships and collaborations?
I think, you know, my time at Nike, and I also, I mean, really, again, that goes back to, I'd say my time at Alpha Numeric all the way through up until Columbia North Face, because understanding that, you know, I was a kid from Southern California who, I mean, I skated and surfed, but snow was like foreign to me. My first time going snowboarding was up at Big Bear. I had some blue nylon pants, a Lakers parka, and my base layer was my Victory full wetsuit. And it was like, so when I go down at lunch, I unzip my wetsuit and steam would come out. But I was just like so hyped to be up there. And you know, not everyone looks the same, right? And again, like if you're too close to something, you don't, you know, I would say I tend to see everything, or as much as I can, everything that's out there and how they connect, right? It's the same thing with even with BCA, like the backcountry and the avalanche backcountry safety community is a very small core group. But what people, I would say, you know, prior to like maybe in the last year, what people aren't realizing is that you're having people go out into the backcountry, into the side country that are like, it's fucking dangerous. And we can't keep talking to ourselves, right? The minute we start talking to ourselves, like we lose sight. And then you start saying, well, why are we talking about education at a click down, if you will, at a level where people like, you know, someone's mother and their child can understand. Because that kid wants to go out and the family goes out. But, you know, sometimes things don't get, they get spoken at such a high level. And that's where you know, where I work through with the team, that's where, you know, I think I learned that at Nike, at Alpha, coming in, is like looking at the big picture and then how it informs the sort of like journey the brand is on, as well as the consumer being on that journey together. So
that's great. We probably have time for one more if anyone else has any questions.
I have a question real quick. I've been looking like into the ski industry, and I just wonder how to stand out and how to really get into it. I feel like it's a very competitive area just because it's a lot of people's passion, and they're going to take certain cuts like in their pay or other areas just to be in a group of people that they can be passionate with.
Yeah. You know, I would say what, like the easy questions, the easy answers, like I guess it depends on which company you're trying to get in with. But it's interesting. We're standing out. I don't, you know, one of the things, it's, I don't look at like, how good of a skier are you? Like, that's not, or a snowboarder or what have you. Again, like, I think it's talking about the consumer. In the end, it's talking about the consumer and the big picture. You know, sharing obviously your area of expertise, but how does that translate to the consumer, if you will? Again, like I said, like, you will get pushback, you know, at times, because I still feel like the ski industry is it's getting better, but I think in the processes and how we build things, it's kind of dusty, right? But for me, someone who stands out is someone who looks out, who thinks outside the box, you know, and isn't just like around, it isn't necessarily around like a new consumer, but just thinking about how you think you can do things differently. And because the skill set is the skill set, but I think the ability to sort of, again, like, think outside the box is extremely important. That's what I'm looking for. You know, and it also depends on the role. Like, if I'm looking at someone from a marketing and brand perspective that is a participant, but they may have come from a you know, not a traditional like ski brand or outdoor brand, then it starts to be those are the things that kind of excite me, because then it starts to be about the collaboration process, and the process of like building and having like thought partners that are from different areas, you know, but working on a common purpose, if you will. So thinking outside the box would be what's most important to me for someone to stand out.
That's great. Damon, thank you for taking the time. I know you're incredibly busy. So I appreciate you just sharing your insight, spending time with us today. This has been great. Super valuable.
Yeah. Sorry it's taken me so long. I do enjoy this. But like I said, it's definitely been a whirlwind for the past couple of years, but I promise I will come out there. I really was trying to come out there and I'm a more of a face-to-face person, to be honest.
Well, whenever you're able, well, we'd love to have you. That'd be great to have you here at some
point. Awesome. And feel free to like reach out to me on LinkedIn or email or anything like that with any more questions.
Thanks for listening to the Highlander Podcast. For more conversations with outdoor leaders, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Watch episodes on the Outdoor Product Design and Development YouTube channel or on opdd.usu.edu/podcast. Follow along on Instagram at USU Outdoor Product and let us know how you're enjoying the show.